This one is probably the biggest one, is that buyer's agents must have a buyer sign an agreement and negotiate fees prior to showing a property from the MLS. The downside to this is that all right. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Closing with Corey podcast, episode number 21. I'm very excited for this week's episode because I've had this conversation with a ton of people, whether they're in the real estate industry, lenders, attorneys, buyers, sellers, or just people that are kind of interested. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the news and seen the articles and seen the headlines as far as the NRA settlement and kind of what's going on with that. So first and foremost, I've done a decent amount of research, not only for myself, but also obviously to be able to try to do a podcast that had as much good information as possible. But by all means, this is all still pending. Nothing is still finalized. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be passed. So this is not an end all be all. I'm literally just relaying what I've learned and trying to put all the information together into one thing. So what are we going to go over? Talk a little bit about what NRA is, talk a little bit about what the settlement is and kind of what we know to this point. And then I'll speak briefly as far as the change in the real estate industry and kind of my take on what's going to be happening. Very quickly, NRA is the National Association of Realtors. Its purpose is to unite basically, you know, the real estate professionals and to effectively exerting a combined influence upon matters affecting real estate interest. Obviously, I copied and pasted that exactly from the website, but it's also one of the biggest networks for realtors. It's one of the association that I'm a part of. So real quick, NRA is set to pay $418 million over 4 years to home sellers involving the compensation listed on the MLSs. Very quickly, the MLS is a multiple listing service. So when you hire an agent to sell your home, they list it onto the MLS. There is a agent version, and then there's also a client version. On the agent version portion, there's something on there that shows the listing agent's office, their information, and also there's a part on there for compensation. So whether it's, you know, 2.5% minus the MLS fee, 3%, whatever the listing agreement states, that's where the compensation for the buyer's agent is always going to be disclosed. So the settlement is pertaining to that portion of the MLS, and we'll kind of go into that a little bit in a minute or two. There's also a ton of rules that are set to be changed starting July of this year. So not too far away. I'm very curious to see kind of what passes through, what's going to be changed. And there's a ton of, I don't want to say misinformation, but there's a ton of opinions and information regarding this settlement that at the end of the day just is not true. It's just, as we all know, and as we know with the media, anytime something happens, everybody's going to have an opinion. It's going to be posted. There's going to be headlines. It's going to be, you know, top of the news, even coming from the man himself, our president. Even the IQ thing is obviously not there, but he had made a comment stating that it's going to, I have it down here. It's basically saying that this settlement will be lowering housing costs for the first time. And also for the first time, sellers and I don't know if you said sellers exactly, but basically saying that they'll be able to negotiate commissions, which is absolutely incorrect. There is something that I say during every single appointment that I go on. And that is that commissions, everything is always negotiable. So starting from the very, very first conversation that I have with sellers or anyone, it's not the first thing that I bring up, but anytime that conversation is ever started, it's always, everything's always negotiable. And then you kind of go into a conversation from there, and then you eventually agree on, you know, whatever it is in terms wise. So very briefly, there's actually an article and there's actually a frequently asked questions list online. There's a ton of stuff that you can go on. You can get all the information. I went through, I believe there's about 193 frequently asked questions. I did read through them all. I kind of saw things that were very repetitive. A lot of the answers from online were all kind of like very like blanket statement answers. So that's why I'm very curious to see how this all develops, because it sounds like there's still a lot that needs to be figured out and a lot of things that needs to be kind of finalized and decided. So I'm going to just go through a few of the ones like that I saw that I thought were actually going to be very important if all this goes through. So changes, there is no requirement to be a member in the association or a member of an MLS to receive compensation. Very, very long story short, it was almost to where you had to become a member of whatever association along with an MLS. So New Jersey, I'm just talking about just New Jersey. I don't know about other states too much, but New Jersey is broken down into a bunch of MLSs. There's the Garden State MLS, which is the one that I use primarily. There is the Central Jersey MLS. There is South Jersey has another MLS. I think there's about five of them altogether. But it's basically stating that you do not need to be a member in the association or a member of the MLS in order to receive compensation. You are not able to offer buyer broker compensation on the MLS. This is going to be one of the – there's two huge changes. This is one of them. Because as a buyer's agent, that's the way that you are able to see and put in the contract to see what you're getting paid. Now, the way that this works is normally an agent goes to meet with a seller who wants to sell their house. The seller says, I want to list my house at this price point. They say, okay, the listing agent discloses, you know, what they would want the commission rate to be. Now, typically, and 99% of the time, that commission is then split out to the selling broker and then also the buying broker. So whatever is agreed upon the agent and upon the seller, the profits from the home will dictate, obviously, what's getting paid out to the seller's agent, what's getting paid out to the buyer's agent. That information would be disclosed on the MLS, as I stated before. One of the changes is that you are not able to offer any buyer broker compensation on the MLS. So that's going to cause a bunch of stuff. We'll talk about that in a second. You cannot create a non-MLS mechanism to offer buyer broker compensation. So one of the most frequently asked questions on there was, okay, well, can I put the buyer broker compensation in the description? Can I put this on social media somewhere? Can I put this here, put this there? And across the board, it was no, you couldn't. The only thing that they did say was that you can offer, if it's something that the seller wants to do, you can offer a buyer broker compensation on your own website. I'm assuming that has to do with free speech or something along those lines. So that was the only part that they said that you can offer, or at least state that they're offering buyer broker compensation. You must disclose that fees disclosed are not set by law and fully negotiable. Again, said about that before, I always say everything's negotiable. So it's just something to basically tell people, okay, whatever we are talking about right here is not the standard. This is not what you have to do. You can negotiate, you can ask for a lower one, I can ask for a higher one, and it's just going to be something that you guys agree upon. This one is probably the biggest one, is that buyer's agents must have a buyer sign an agreement and negotiate fees prior to showing a property from the MLS. The downside to this is that for me, and I'm just talking about me and I'm talking about the way that I operate, when I meet a buyer, whether it's at an open house or if I meet them for a consultation or I'm just trying to go through a game plan with them, I have not asked them to say, hey, I need you, before we talk about anything, I need you to sign this paper that basically states that you are going to be locked in with me and you're going to work with me for X amount of months. That's not the way that I've done it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that this has been something that they have tried to do for a very long time, but now it's being a requirement that in order to show a property from an MLS, you have to have a buyer sign this agreement with you. I'll talk about that a little bit later on as far as how I think that's going to change things. Sellers may offer seller concessions via the MLS for buyer closing costs, but they cannot be specifically buyer agent compensation. So what that means is a seller's concession was something that has not been involved in real estate for many years, because that used to be something to say, hey, I'm going to offer you X amount of money from the profits from this sale, I am asking for a seller's concession, basically meaning you are going to give me this money back, whether it's going to be a credit towards my closing costs because the closing costs are really high, or, you know, sometimes that can be something that gets negotiated if there's any inspection issues. But basically, seller's concessions are something that you really don't see too much with these competitive offers, just because it's essentially deducting from the profit that a seller is making from the sale. So if what happens is with this change, and I'm just kind of speculating, this is kind of what my thought process is that if a seller is able to then offer a seller's concession, what they're going to say is, okay, if you offer me X amount of money and I have this leftover pool of money, I will then give you a concession towards whatever it's going to be. You cannot say that it's going to be your buyer's agent compensation, but basically stating I will be willing to give you X amount in seller's concession. So again, just speculating the idea that if they are allowing that, I'm assuming that they are going to already see that there could be, I don't want to say loopholes, but there's going to be ways around having different conversations aside of just how it is right now, to which is, what's the listing agreement say? How much is the seller's agent getting paid? How much is the buyer's agent getting paid? Is it, you know, flat fees? And we'll talk about that in a little bit as well too. Sellers can still offer compensation off of the MLS platform. I kind of said that before on the fact of it being the seller's agent's website. I'm not too sure about this because I'm not sure any other way aside of the MLS platform on how they can disclose that they're offering a buyer's broker compensation. So I'm curious too as far as what that exactly means, and then we'll kind of break that down once they release some more information. Some more notes that I have on here. Those were the main changes. Again, there was like 100 and something. So if you want to go and check it out, it's on website. It's all frequently asked questions. They have a whole bunch of information about the settlement, about what's coming along with it. A lot of the stuff on there is saying that there is nothing that is admitting any wrongdoings. A whole bunch of political stuff that I don't feel like wasting my time and getting involved with. But I wanted to really just talk about the changes that I saw and how it's going to impact, obviously, myself, the market, agents, everybody involved in these next couple of however many years that this is going to be in place with, starting as of July, as long as all this stuff goes through. But some other notes that I have on here. The written agreement for MLS participants working with a buyer is something that they have been trying to do. Yeah, so I already talked about that. This is something to where they've already asked for a statement of disclosures, basically, which is stating like if you meet a client at an open house or if you meet a client somewhere and you even begin to talk about real estate a little bit and talk about the, you know, not I don't want to say give them advice, but once that door opens into a real estate related conversation, what they have been trying to do is to say, okay, for us to go further, I'm going to need you to sign this, which is basically stating what I am for you, that I have your best interest in mind, that I'm going to be representing you X, Y, and Z. I have more so worked off of, and I tell all of my clients this, is that I always want people to be comfortable working with me because they want to work with me, and I develop those relationships. Now, I will say, have I gotten burned in the sense of not having these agreements signed? 1,000%. There's been times where I have put an offer, 15 offers for a buyer, or if I've showed them 30 properties, or if I showed them one property, five properties, whatever it is, it kind of comes with the territory of the business that we're in. And it also comes in the territory of working on like a trust system, really. So what I do is that I go into it just saying like, you know, listen, I'm going to talk about real estate with you. I'm going to answer any questions. I'm going to give you my guidance. I'm going to give you my advice. I'm going to disclose every single thing for you. Your interests are and your best interests are what my main priority is. At that point, if they decide on what their best interest is to go and do, you know, whatever they can do, which then excludes me from being their agent and representing them, it is what it is. I've learned my lesson that way as well too. I've understand that it comes with the business. So I think that these agreements, if there is a positive side to it, is that that will then be eliminated because you're essentially going to say, okay, now if you sign this, I'm going to show you exactly what it is that I will be doing for you. I'll go through everything and then you're going to be locked in. I'm going to assume that it's going to be just like a listing agreement where it's going to either be like 3 months, 6 months, or however many properties that I show you. So again, something that I'm curious to see a little bit about. So they also put on the website as far as different ways for buyers brokers getting paid. Just so you know, buyers broker, same thing as buyers agent. It's just depending on which way that you want to say it. There is a fixed fee commission that can be paid directly by the consumer. So I'm assuming that those contracts that you would be entered into, that all needs to be handled up front. So you can say, I am going to be your agent. This is what my rate is, whether it's going to be, you know, a percentage or whatever. Again, everything's negotiable, but it's a matter of just stating that up front. Or it can be something that you guys agree upon to be, I'm going to be getting this amount of money for this transaction and being there throughout the entire thing. Like we talked about before, concessions from a seller, which again, can't be stated that it's going towards a buyer's commission, but it's something that it can be done as well too. And then this one confuses the hell out of me because this kind of is going to be another one that'll have to be broken down. But it says that a portion of the listing broker's compensation, which essentially means that the listing broker is going to negotiate that fee with the seller. Then part of that compensation is then going to be paid out to the buyer's agent, which is exactly what is happening right now. So I'm sure there'll still be some stipulations there. And as far as how things are disclosed and X, Y, and Z, but that was something that they had on there that was going to be listed. Another frequently asked question that they had on here, real simple, yes or no. Can a buyer request that a listing broker pay the compensation to the buyer's broker? And that's a yes. So I'm assuming, again, that if you submit an offer for your buyer, part of that offer now will either be an addendum or there's going to be a part on the contract if it's going to need to be modified. And it'll probably state that the buyer's agent is asking for X amount or that the buyer is asking for the seller to compensate his or her broker. So that'll probably be something that will have to be amended and there'll be some stuff that will go on for there. Last couple of things is that, you know, one thing that I saw just from doing my other research is that this rightfully so is scary because it's a change. So something that is being changed is going to have a whole bunch of questions. It's going to have a whole bunch of uncertainty. And especially if you're going off of just the news or if you're going off of headlines or if you're trying to gather this information outside of doing your own research and stuff. But one of the things on here that I did see that was a little bit of positivity was that while all this was going on, while this was being disclosed to all the buyers that are out there right now, I think that they kept it just within the United States, but they did a survey and 76% of buyers believe that when you buy a home, you should definitely have representation for the interest for the entire transaction. So I was going to also talk about another article on here, but I'll probably wait until next week. I'm going to have a guest on next week and we'll break that down a little bit. But one of the lenders, actually Al, that I work with, sent over a fantastic article to me that I believe it listed out over 100 different duties that a buyer's agent has to do for a buyer. And it's mainly just getting to a point to where I was watching the Tom Ferry episode where he had a couple of people on talking about this. And they explained it in the sense of like a buyer basically going for like a job interview, which I think is a great analogy because at this point right now, normally buyers were reaching out to agents to say, hey, can you show me this property? Can you show me that property? In this sense now, you're looking to say, hey, here is what I am going to be doing for you throughout this entire transaction. This isn't going to be something that maybe you don't even realize. Maybe it's behind the scenes. But I'm definitely going to talk about that a little bit more next week to where, again, it was over 100 different items that as I'm reading through, like I almost forgot about that I do you know, 99% of them as well too. So it was all things to showcase at the end of the day, to showcase your value as a buyer's agent. So on the selling side, I don't think that, and now this is like my last like little bit of like my own personal way that I've been, digesting this, is that I don't think that on the selling side for a seller's agent, there's going to be a ton of change, because at the end of the day, the value that an agent brings to whether it's going to be a buyer or a seller is going to all come down to that individual agent and what they're able to offer, how they're able to showcase it, and how they're able to, I don't want to say sell themselves, but that's kind of what it is. You're telling these people, or you're showing these people why they should work with you over other potential either agents or other potential opportunities, as far as if they're going to just go directly to the listing agent or if they're just going to do a for sale by owner. Because that's another thing too. I don't think, I think people forgot that a for sale by owner is something that's been around forever. And the amount of for sale by owners is, I think, at like an all-time low, because everybody trusts a agent who's a professional in their field to be able to say, this is the listing price that you should go at. This is the way that we need to market it. Let's do the professional pictures. Let's make sure that everything is ready to go. Let me be the one to be able to talk to the buyer's agent, to be able to let them know, to sell your property, to let them know why the property is worth X amount, to be able to let them know about, the area, all of the things that are the behind the scenes doing of a transaction. You almost forget, because I do the same thing too. And I thought about it after last year, and I'm like, I post a lot of under contracts, just sold, just listed. And I don't do a lot of that behind the scenes stuff to show what got to that point. So when Al sent that email, it was almost refreshing to realize how much work really does go into these transactions. So showcasing your value and most importantly, comes down to the relationships that you have with people, and just to be able to show them, I am here for you. I am here for your best interest. This is the reason why, the benefits to you is going to be X, Y, and Z for working with me because of, and then be able to show them, all the reasons. I do think that it is a scary change, just because there's a lot of things on there that is going to unfortunately probably impact, I see maybe newer agents that, maybe don't have as much of a referral network and a client base and, experience with having some of these, difficult conversations, because I've been in a lot of those conversations to be able to showcase my value. And I've been able to answer those questions and be able to give legitimate reasons and evidence as far as all the different stuff that we're talking about. So I think for newer agents, it may be a little bit tough, but I think that, they're also going to also be easily adaptable, because they haven't really gotten into a flow of how things are going to be done prior to this July change for whatever's going to be going on for the rules. So that's kind of what I had for this week. I wanted to get that out there. I wanted to get my own personal opinion. I wanted to at least give a little bit of information about the settlement, about the changes to expect in July, about the idea of, I didn't want to go through all of the misinformation, because there was probably more of those, but I just wanted to at least get that out there. So if you have any questions on this, as I said, next week, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more with a fellow agent, and then also go through a few things regarding the duties of a buyer's agent, of a seller's agent, with also a whole bunch of other information. So if you have any questions on that, feel free to reach out to me. Again, all of this information was pulled directly from their website, along with various sources that were just, I don't want to say opinion based, but nothing is finalized yet. So that's why it's tough to say here's exactly what's happening. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Any questions, feel free to reach out. As always, subscribe, comment, reach out, information, people that, if you want to jump on the podcast, I'm totally open for it. It doesn't have to be just real estate related. I've been looking to, as far as like, investors, as far as interior design, different decorations, landscaping. I know that that's coming up right now, just to be able to showcase why, the curb appeal for a home, even if you're not selling it, is so important. So there's just a bunch of different avenues that we can go with this. And I'm excited to have these other conversations with some of the people that I'll be having on. So, as always, Thanks for watching. I appreciate it. I'll see you next week. Oh, Lord, that was a lot of talking.